This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right, you are listening to Fender Bender on another Sunday afternoon right here on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson and I'm very excited to have your company. If you're joining us for the first time, Fender Bender is all about cars and motoring and all that kind of jazz, and we are just pretty much a bunch of petrolhead nerds. And that's the way we like it, so hopefully you are too, and if you're not, we'll make you one by the end of this show, goddammit. We're a man down here today at Fender Bender. Mike Costello, wonderful Mike, incredible motoring journalist, is unfortunately unwell. So, Mike, if you're out there, just look after yourself, please. Just be careful, okay? Yes, hopefully Mike will be back very soon, back in the studio. Brian is on his way here. He'll be here very shortly. Isn't here yet, but will be here shortly. But I am joined by the wonderful Matt Brogan from carsales.com.au.
How are you, Timmy?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm a little, well, not jet-lagged, but just a bit plane tired. But
A bit bushed. Come back, so just from Tokyo today.
Yeah, I landed about 3 hours ago, mate, so good to be here. Yeah. And yeah, no more sushi for a while.
Absolutely not. And if we go a bit quiet, it just means Matt's fallen asleep because he's dead tired. But there'll be lots of Tokyo juicy gossip later, of course, in the show.
Yep.
Lots of that. So, yes, we'll be doing a bit of a wrap-up of the Tokyo Motor Show on the show today. We're also going to continue our search for Fender Bender's Raddest Cars of 2011 awards. They're a little bit different, not quite like your car of the year. We are a bit different because we're Joy. We've kind of got to be different.
We've got to be. Yeah.
It's the law, really. Really, let's be honest. So we've started that a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to continue with that today. And of course, to celebrate summer, not that you'd know it today if you're in Melbourne, we're going to look at the best summer cars around. And, you know, it might not necessarily be a convertible. Could be, I don't know,
something with really good air conditioning.
Exactly. So we'll think outside the square there. Of course, there's lots of news. Pop over to Facebook, Fender Bender Joy, and like us. Would be lovely, because we do like you. Lots more coming up. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Cyndi Lauper there, starting the show, getting us kicked off here on Fender Bender. She bop. Love a bit of Cyndi. Don't know if these guys do, but that's all right.
No. Cyndi was trying to trick us there. We couldn't figure out when the song was going to finish.
I know, it was confusing. I didn't know what was happening. She's evil. Now, of course, we're very lucky now. Brian, you've made it.
You're here. Made it. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for being here. Bit of traffic.
Bit of traffic, let's just call it that.
That's exactly right. Well, it's lovely to have you.
Thank you.
Now, of course, Matt, you've just returned from Tokyo, but before that, there's quite a bit of other stuff that's been happening in the news this week motoring land. I don't know if you guys saw the launch this week of the V8 supercars unveiled their car of the future through the week, and they launched that at Homebush, and it's coming in 2013, so this is where the underpinnings of the cars are fairly similar. It's apparently, you know, saving cost and all that kind of stuff. Mark Scaife and Neil Crompton were on hand. There was much fanfare, and Holden and Ford are, of course, on board for this, but this is now open for other manufacturers to join in. No one's put their hand up yet.
No, and it's funny, you know, every time we ask the question, I don't think anyone wants to be the first one to put their hand up.
Yeah.
They sort of say they don't see the value in it. This isn't a right fit for us, you know, which I think translates to it's all a little bit bogan. but look, yeah, there's a lot of scope there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's certainly at least four manufacturers I think would fit into the new COF rules quite well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's just a lot of politics, I think, still. And I think once somebody just, you know, takes that first step,
the
rest will follow. Yep.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting little area, actually. You kind of can't imagine what other cars would do it. I mean, Toyota's an obvious one, I guess, because of the bigger car. Anyone else you could see doing it?
Well, look, there's the three big Germans, I guess. They've all got the right platform for it. You know, the German touring cars, of course. But as to whether they will, I think it would sort of tarnish that mark of their premiumness that they have over here. So,
Well, they do it, I guess, in Europe, though. They're part of the European touring cars.
That's right, yeah. But over there, it's a bit more mainstream, you know. You've got Mercedes-Benz taxis.
Oh, I don't know who else. Mazda?
No, I can't really think of anything that's...
Like you said, it's so parochial, Ford and Holden, that I can't see any other manufacturer wanting to try and be a part of that, because there'd be a lot of, let's just say, spectator angst, I think, if there was other manufacturers on board.
Yeah.
You can't see anyone really being... Go Toyota.
No.
Go Nissan.
Yeah, I think if everyone was to jump on board at once, October 2013 across the top of the mountain might be a very interesting ride.
It could be quite hilarious, actually. I think, I don't know, I reckon Nissan would actually have, because of the GTRs in the 90s, I reckon they'd have quite the fan base, and I would love to see them back, and maybe even Jim Richards driving in them again, calling people's assholes all over again. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Well, maybe not. No, but
bring it on, I say.
Yeah, I do too. Look, Scafie's living in hope in the press release. He was like basically begging people to jump on board. But
you know, look, good on him for giving it a go. More motor racing in this country is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, look, anything that these guys can do to try and promote it, I'm all for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, again, there'll be more Tokyo stuff later, maybe. We were talking a little bit before. The Toyota and BMW have signed a bit of an MOU, I understand.
Yes, the Memorandum of Understanding.
What's all that about?
Look, this is really interesting because we sort of knew about it a week before the show, and I asked both parties, and they said, no, it's all speculation. Don't believe everything you read.
Mm.
And... then lo and behold, second day of Tokyo, there's a press conference, and yes, please come in here, and we want to talk about this.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. don't throw me a bone or anything.
Yeah,
basically, the deal is very European centric, I guess you would say.
Yeah,
Toyota's going to be scoring a whole lot of 1.6 and 2 liter BMW diesel engines for use in a car they won't tell us about. But hey,
right,
have a guess.
Right,
yeah, Corolla, anyone?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I think Toyota's sort of figured that their hybrid game isn't really working in Europe as well as they might have hoped. The Europeans are very dedicated, very attached to their diesel. It works for them. It's a familiar package. It's reasonably cheap. Yep. The hybrid thing's a bit of a misnomer.
Mm.
And BMW, look, you know, they're trying to work on their own sort of hybrid and electric schemes, and this gives them a bit of a leg up with the battery technology, and, you know, two heads are better than one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Of an unlikely partnership if you kind of just look at both companies, of course.
It really is, isn't it?
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But interesting the lack of traction that hybrids have got in Europe. And there's not huge amount of European manufacturers that do it. Is it Renault? Renault have got the Fluence and that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, they which is pretty much all electric, really.
That's right.
And there'll probably be a little more of that as the the Nissan Renault alliance kind of gathers momentum, I guess. But look, I guess the upside for Toyota fans is this is a great way to get a really high tech diesel for a really good price.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could just even put a BMW badge on it.
That's right.
Guys. People like doing that kind of crap.
You know, you've got two really good engineering companies, essentially, that do have all the knowledge to do either avenue really well.
Yeah.
So good things will come.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. Now, another bit of news this week out of Nissan. We saw a couple of announcements from Nissan, and one of which was they've pretty much confirmed that the Pulsar name is returning. We've talked about that a bit on this show. You know, is that going to change the fortunes of their small car?
Personally speaking, I don't know why they ever got rid of it in the first place.
That's right.
Such a strong name and had such a good reputation, and... You know, the last-gen Pulsar was a pretty good little thing. And this Tita name sort of popped up, and as good, bad, or indifferent as the car may have been, no one really knew where it was coming from. And
no.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
Yep.
You see many levels.
Oh, many, many levels. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're mainly... you see them as hire cars. That's all I've really seen them. I mean, a friend of mine actually bought a Nissan Tita. She didn't consult me first, obviously.
She's not well, is she?
No, she's not. She sold it. She called it Tilly. Jacqueline, if you're listening, God bless you. But I just was... Yeah, why would you do that? But look, maybe this will turn the fortunes around, and hopefully if it's a good car, I think that's the main thing. So it'll be interesting to see when that lands. And that they've also announced that they're going to bring... Cause obviously, Nissan in Japan, as you would well know, Matty, that, I mean, their range over there, we don't get half of
it's
what
huge.
They have.
Yeah. It's absolutely phenomenal. And that goes for all the Japanese manufacturers. There's some weird and wonderful stuff on the road over there.
Mm.
And look, one of the other ones that we're getting probably early to second quarter of... next year is the van, the NV, which is sort of a replacement for the Ervan.
Oh my goodness, right. Wowzers.
Yeah, so there you go. So that'll fill in the white van sector, I guess, the high ace competitor that they haven't had for a long time. And, you know, that market's sort of got a fair bit of traction here. Like, Hyundai's doing so well with the iLoad, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
And high ace, you know, just continues to just sell and sell and sell. Mitsubishi Express is getting very, very old. And
what? They haven't changed that, have they? I still see them around. It's like, oh, that looks like it's from the 80s. But it's brand new.
It is, yeah.
Well, yeah.
You can still buy a brand new one. The safety rating's absolutely terrible. It just needs a bit of love. It needs a bit of modernization. But, this new thing from Nissan's, it looks like a goer. And,
good for them. Well, the other thing is the Altima, which is their mid-size thing that they've got over there. They've basically said that they're going to bring that out over here, which may spell the death of the Maxima. Which, I mean, are we sad about that, boys?
Look, put the cardigans back on the mothballs.
That's right.
It's over. No, look, the Maxima, you know, everyone gives the Maxima a bit of a hard time, but it is a great car.
Yeah, it really
is, and especially with the two engine choices. Believe it or not, that little 250, the 2.5, is a good thing.
Is that a V6?
It's a V6. It's a little popular V6.
It gets put in a lot of their models, doesn't it?
And it's a great little thing. It's one of those underrated, I guess, those cars that don't get enough love that we were talking about the other week.
Yep.
That's one of them. And Max, it never really does anything wrong. It's just suffered from that reputation.
It's a real shame, actually. You know,
nah.
Good. No. Do you think it's the Toyota Crown of the 2000s?
It is. It is. Survival of the fittest in the car world. We all know that.
Yeah.
And that new shape they went to never did it any favours, I don't think. Even though the old one was atrocious as well, but they were trying to modernise and trying to capture a different age group, let's just say, and it never worked, did it?
Do you remember the first one that came out here? And it had like this weird thing on the door.
The keypad door.
I was obsessed with that when I was quite young because I just thought it was a beautiful looking car. I thought it was a fantastic design and it just seemed quite high tech and futuristic or something. And now it's just got that nano reputation.
And I think after they got rid of the Bluebird, they really needed something that was high tech.
Let's be honest. Well, look, it's sad for some people out there, but maybe not for others, Brian McLeish.
Perhaps not.
No. And a little bit to end the news, of course. It's the end of the line, guys. It's a sad day. Maybach is over.
Yeah.
I've already gone through a box of tissues this morning.
For crying? Something else. are we sad about that?
Oh, look, rappers all over the world will lament, I'm sure. What are we going to put in our film clips now?
This is it.
I've really got no opinion on it one way or another. It never really did anything for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't different enough.
Yeah.
It just looked too S-class for me.
It looked like a massively stretched, but in a really poor way. I just didn't do it for me at all as well. I just thought it was a cruddy looking rip-off of the S-class, even though it was based on it.
I think unless you wore a bandana and had your pants around your, you know, knees, or you were running a small South African country, it's...
There's no real point. But they're going to replace it with the S-Class, which is a good thing. They're going to have a fancy version of the S-Class, so good on Merck.
Why they went to Maybach in the first place.
Yeah.
Beyond me.
Who knows? Well, that's the news for the week. There is lots more to come, of course. Now, stay in touch. We're going to be talking about summer cars coming up very shortly. We'd love to hear from you about what you think would be a fantastic summer car. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
I'm confused, but that's okay. We'll be talking about what summer cars are on offer and what we think that the top picks there. But first, of course, Matty Brogan's going to tell us a bit about Tokyo and your fantastic, wonderful, large trip that you've just returned from. How was it?
Look, weird and wonderful as always. Tokyo is just a brilliant place. If you haven't been, check it out. It's hilarious.
A little bit ridiculous.
That goes for the motor show too. You will see stuff that you're just guaranteed not to see in any other motor show anywhere in the world. I've never seen skirts so short.
This is a common thing with motor shows.
It is.
Yeah. Attendees.
Unlike other motor shows, it doesn't matter whether you're a guy or a girl. The short skirt seems to still be okay.
Oh, wow.
No, look, there was some great stuff there and a lot of alternative energy. You know, we had fuel cell vehicles. We had plug-in hybrids, we had traditional hybrids. just a little bit of everything for everyone, really.
It's very, you know, like you think of Tokyo, you think surely, you know, the technology, like that's just the word. It's like techie, you know, as you were saying before, Akihabara, the area that's, you know, the nerd heaven.
Electric city.
Yeah, yes, totally. Yes. I just imagine the motor show is just like a motor show version of Akihabara, basically.
Well, there's techie and there's tacky as well. That's
right.
Yes. We both ends of the spectrum as you wander around. But look, Toyota actually has got a little bit cool in the past couple of years.
What did you say?
I know. You just sort of need to, you know, chuck a bucket of cold water over yourself.
I think so.
But, you know, there's cars that change colour by using your iPhone, and you can put any design you want on the side, which I don't know if you've been through my photo library, but that could get a bit interesting.
Goodness. That could be saucy.
We have the new Prius C, which is Prius Compact, which is basically a Yaris hybrid.
Oh.
And we'll be getting that soon.
In Australia?
In Australia.
Will it be called a Prius?
It will probably be called Prius C for compact. But look, think Yaris, hybrid, and you're on the right money.
Okay.
Yep. Good-looking little thing, actually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's hybrids until now sort of stood out as being, hey, look at me, I'm driving a hybrid.
Mm.
This looks no different to a regular Yaris. And more of that.
Yeah.
Should be much more of that.
Well, wasn't the first Prius basically an eco sedan?
Yeah.
But I've seen one recently, the very first one. Somebody from around the corner from my house has got one, and it just has not aged well.
No. Because I can't imagine why.
I know. You'd be surprised, wouldn't you? Yeah. So, well, that's good that they're giving it a red hot go again.
Yeah. So, look, that was one of, let me count now, three different Prius models they had there. They had their plug-in hybrid as well. So you can get shoot me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was about 30-something kilometres from your plug-in charge.
Okay.
Which for most people in Tokyo is more than enough for the daily commute.
Yeah.
That's also going to be here sometime next year. And the Prius V, which is a little wagon version. And we'll also be getting that one by all accounts.
Wow.
So, yes.
That's all right. Toyota's kind of, you know, putting a lot of models onto Australia. That's a bit exciting. Well,
many
Brian might not think so exciting is the best word to use.
It's interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. That's a different word.
Sorry, 23 kilometres, I've just been told. Yes.
Okay, 23 kilometres.
23.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. With the little one, the C, I mean, surely the Yaris wouldn't use much fuel anyway. Is this going to work?
Look, I think there's just about a market for everything now.
Well.
You know, build it and they will come.
Mm.
And look, why not? If you're all, you know, you're all about saving the world and you only need so much space, why go out and spend the extra $15,000?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they know their customers very well.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Oh, good for them. And they've kind of injected a bit of excitement recently,
they have,
I believe.
Yes. This was either going to make it or break it for me, I think, this little drive that we had last Saturday.
Mm.
And fortunately, very pleased to say, the 86, as it is now known, they've dropped the FT off the front.
Yes.
The new little coupe.
Right.
Is a really good little thing. Everyone's sort of had a bit of a whinge that it needs a turbo or it needs a little bit more power. No. Look, that's not what it's about. Anyone that's owned or driven an MX-5 will understand that pure sort of basic grassroots motoring.
Mm.
Just get out there and enjoy it for what it is. Lap up some corners, have a bit of a drift.
Yeah,
and
right.
Does all of the above very well.
That's a bit exciting, and you know, as we were saying before the show, there's so many cars these days, especially sporty cars, that they're a bit kind of overcomplicated and over-engineered. There's so much technology and all that kind of thing, so it's nice to see something that goes back to basics.
Yeah, well, the Toyota boffins sort of said to us on the night, look, you know, it's all about all-wheel drive and turbocharging and, you know, combinations of supercharging and turbocharging and all this stuff that's getting really techie and really hard for the backyarder to not only afford, but also to work on himself and to modify and, you know, have a play with and get into some of that entry-level motor racing that seems to be really lacking here.
Mm.
And this is, you know, the perfect outlet for that. It's good fun, really good fun.
It's the best recommendation you can give a car, isn't it? Good fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Are you shocked that it comes with a Toyota badge, though?
No, I'm not, because I've always done good sports cars.
Mm.
Always,
well, yeah.
Always enjoyed the Supras and whatnot, so...
It's just been a long time between drinks.
Just been a long time, yeah. They're focused on their small car market and really haven't paid much attention to that.
I think 2003 was last MR2 in showrooms here.
Because you're the MR2 fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, that's right.
Yes.
And I did see something about a talk of a, Supra is next or something like that.
We actually spoke to the head engineer at dinner the other night, and he said he would like to do one smaller and one bigger.
Ah.
And he wouldn't really elaborate. Okay. And yes, every time you ask difficult questions, they suddenly don't speak English anymore.
Yes. Well, you should have played him with more sake.
but we did sort of almost kind of somewhat get an answer that there could be a convertible coming.
Excellent.
Yes.
Interesting.
And we might put some pictures up later. We've had a bit of a play in Photoshop, so...
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit exciting.
It is a bit exciting. So I think once the initial excitement of the hardtop dies down, we could see something else there and, go that's after that cool. MX-5 money.
So when's it coming out here, the 86?
The 86 will be here, and think about this date, 8th of June next year.
There you go. 8-6, guys, out there, if you didn't know.
Yes. Hai chiroko.
Hai! Sores ne. Now, it's not without its controversy, though. Obviously, the BRZ, or the Brz,
the Brz,
I believe,
the Brz.
Is the Subaru version of the same car, essentially. Mm. And there's been a bit of controversy this week, and there's been a bit of we did this from Toyota and Subaru.
Yes.
What's all that about?
Well, without getting too political, and I'm only reading what one of my colleagues has written because I haven't been to the Subaru side of the fence yet.
Mm.
Subaru sort of said, no, well, look, we've done absolutely everything in this car except for this part. And Toyota sort of said, oh, look, if that's what they want to say, then fair enough. But really, we did everything.
Oh.
So,
controversial.
Controversial.
Well, this will be fun to watch this play out.
Yeah.
Love a bitch fight.
I can't wait till the local launch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Someone's eyes are going to get scratched out. It's going to be fantastic.
Claws out.
Oh, wow. So, lots going on. There's also a few things at Tokyo, of course. We were talking earlier as well about personal mobility devices.
Yeah, look, some of this
Who
stuff...
Who knew?
Some of this stuff is just so cool, so Jetsons.
totally.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you sort of think of personal mobility. You think the little four-wheeled scooter with the daggy big orange triangle flag hanging off the back, and grandpa going way too fast on the footpath. But these are actually kind of cool to own over there, and some of them actually go quick enough that you can take them on the road. And if you've got a handbag dog and great big sunglasses and a lot of Versace, these are for you.
Well, you've just described me. yeah. Well, look, they love their crazy little gadgets and stuff, so it's not really surprising. But you really couldn't imagine it taking off too much here.
Look, no, I don't. I think with the distances we've got to cover from suburbia into town, it's probably not really going to work here.
Yeah.
Having said that, I did get to have a go of their winglet, which is basically a Segway.
With a V8.
No. No, look.
Sadly, no.
Highly entertaining. Please don't get on and look at the video because it's not pretty.
Oh, dear.
But look, once you get the hang of it, it's pretty cool. But that initial step, it's like learning to walk all over again.
Really?
Yeah.
And this video is available at motoring.com.au.
I hope that's right. I really hope it's been taken down by now.
We'll find it. We might link it to our Facebook page, so stay tuned. Lots of exciting stuff in Tokyo, and hopefully you'll head back next year.
Every 2 years.
Every
so
2 years?
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we'll be back 2013, assuming I get invited again.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Lots more, of course, to come on Fender Bender. Tell us what your fantasy summer car would be. We want to know. We're going to talk all about summer cars because it's really, really warm right now in Melbourne, guys. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it's like super hot. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Thank you for joining us. Now, it's summer. You probably can't tell, depending on where you are. You certainly can't tell if you're in Melbourne.
No, definitely not.
Yes. If you're somewhere around the world listening, like San Francisco or somewhere, good luck to you. That's fantastic, whatever. But we are sitting here freezing. I'm wearing a jacket today. It's not appropriate.
It's not really, is it?
No.
It says me with a cold.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's a bit stupid. But, we've got to celebrate summer, so we thought we would do that in a car-y kind of way. People buy cars, to get that summer flavour happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's fairly extravagant, if you ask me.
Mm.
probably got a bit of money, maybe, if you're doing that, buying a car for a season.
Yeah. Particularly in Melbourne, anyway, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Bit of money or, you know, not much sense. You know, let's be honest. But there's lots of cars out there on the market now. Again, we've got a massive market in this country anyway. Yeah. And there's lots out there available for people who want a bit of a summer drive.
That's right.
Now, but what constitutes a summer car, guys? What would you think? What's an obvious?
Look, the obvious one's the convertibles, yep. Of course. And yep. There's just dozens of them to choose from now, which is great.
You yeah.
Know, as a bit of a convertible fan, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
That's true.
Yeah.
You've also got, what about something like a bit of a fun, like a four-wheel drivey kind of thing? Is that summery?
Of course it is, yeah. Anything getting out and about, going for drives. Camping, that kind of thing.
Camping, exactly.
You know, that's towing right. boats.
Yeah. That's true. That's
going
very
fishing.
True. Yes, all of it.
All of it.
Look, the obvious one that springs to mind from that category is what we've often said is one of the gayest cars out there, which is the Jeep Wrangler.
Yep.
Good old Wrangler. Most bears in Melbourne have one. Yep. That or a ute, oddly enough, Brian.
Yes. Well, what can I say?
I didn't think you fitted that stereotype.
No.
But, not quite.
And, you know, Wrangler, you can kind of combine the convertible and Wrangler things.
Well, this
so,
is it.
You know, the gayest of both worlds.
Exactly. You know, put your weave in the wind. Do you remember Mini Mokes?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I love a Mini Moke.
They were great.
Yeah.
Can you?
They're the most summery car of all time, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what they were built for, summer.
Like, literally on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And any car that's held together with zips and press studs, like, that's a good thing,
that's
surely.
That's awesome. I think there needs to be more of it.
Look, ANCAP would love it.
Yeah.
You didn't even get a belt buckle. You just tied the safety belt around your waist.
Actually, could you even put one of those on the road these days?
Oh, what, new or?
No, even an old one, I guess. But no, it's because... Isn't there some kind of rule, if it's built at that time, then you don't have to, you know, get it up to standard?
Yeah, look, if it's older
whatever.
Than 30 years, you're fine. You can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'd want to have a head-on with an X5 or something like that, but...
Not necessarily in a Moke.
You
wouldn't even want to have a run-in with an
MX5.
But speaking of MX5s, now that's a very summery car.
It is.
So, as you said before, Matty, there's quite a lot in that bracket, and you can go high end.
You can go high end.
Yeah.
We've just had Darren from St Kilda say that his favourite would be an M3 convertible.
Ah,
good choice.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
Choice. Yeah, really good choice.
Yeah.
In that same sort of flavour, and if you don't quite have the money for an M3, the Abarth SES 500.
Say that again.
Well, speak of my language.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a Fiat 500. Mm. Abarth, who's a tuning firm with a little scorpion, have weaved some magic into this little beast.
Ah.
It is a rocket.
Really?
Unbelievable. So much fun. Like, people throw the word, you know, handles like a go-kart around way too often.
Yep.
Generally doesn't mean a thing because most cars just do not handle these days. This is like it's on rails. It is super sticky, a lot of fun, and they've got a convertible version now. So, look, you can peel the whole roof back and get sunburnt while you're going really fast.
Awesome. Yeah. Is this in Australia yet?
Yeah, it's here now, limited numbers, but...
Costly?
Costly.
Is it?
Slightly, yes.
Oh, dear.
But... Look, if you've got the cash, just go and have some fun, seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Say that Abarth again.
Abarth SES.
Thank you. We just wanted to hear it again. Thank you very much. Other expensive ones. I was just trying to think. BMW got the 1 Series, but that's not super pricey, the 1 Series.
No, look, until you start getting the bigger engine in there, it's, you know, it very quickly heads up towards the six-figure mark. There's Audi TT, of course.
Yep. Various Mercedes-eases.
Yes, Mercedes-i.
Yes, Mercedes-i. And that's, again, of course, if you can afford that kind of thing.
Yeah, and look, the new SLK has just come out not that long ago.
Mm.
It's taken its looks from the SLS, so it's a bit more butch.
Yeah,
yes.
Finally.
Yeah. No, it's a far better looking car.
Yep.
Look, mechanically, it's very, very similar. I really like the looks, and it's not a bad little drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and bit of... badge cachet goes a long way.
Yeah, that's true. And it's probably just not going to be driven solely by hairdressers that run their own shop anymore.
I'm not saying anything to that.
Yes, okay.
Possible.
Because, no, look, I'm with you. I love the new look of it. I think it looks sensational. Big fan. So going back to the other end of the scale, you don't have much money to spend. What are we going to look at? Because I tell you what, the bloody Astra and Focus no longer exist, do they?
Well, the Astra's coming back, of course, with Opel. Yes. But look, convertible may not be here for a while.
Yeah.
The Renault Megane, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sort of overlooked, I think, in the convertible stakes. There's Focus.
Are they going to do it? Do you think they'll do a like the
current shape?
Yeah.
Look, I'd say they will.
You'd hope so.
It's just a matter of when and which Italian design house is going to get their hands on it first.
Why is that the case? All of them, the Astra and the Focus, were both designed by
Pininfarina and Bertone, and
that's it.
I think they just do a good job of it.
Yeah.
That original, well, not the original, but the Astra convertible that was here first.
Yeah.
That was a great looking thing. The Bertone.
It was the highest selling convertible in the country for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very popular item.
Yeah.
Don't forget the super duper very sexy Sebring.
Chrysler Sebring.
Mm. That's right.
Yep, that's right. It is a. It's a car.
/ boat.
Yeah.
Look, after I got chased out of here by the PT Cruiser Club last week.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think I should mention anything about the Sebring.
Well, you know what? We will on your behalf. That thing is an absolute dog. Look, it's been around for quite a while.
It has, and it's starting to just show its age, I guess.
But it's still selling in this country. It is. It's still on sale. Yeah. I don't know if it's selling, but it's on sale in this country.
And I think the other one that's not quite in that convertible flavour, but definitely summery and a really good all-rounder is the FJ Cruiser.
See, I'm a fan. Do you like this car?
I love it.
Same. Thank you. Was it you guys? Who was he a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
No, that's right. You and Mike were really anti and said it was one of the most boring cars around.
Look, it's a Prado underneath. And if that's boring, well, fair enough. But look, it does a really good job off-road.
Yeah.
It looks so close to the concept model.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I'm all for it.
I thought they could have more roof off, more...
Actually, that'd be cool.
Just more fun about it. Otherwise, it's just a different body on a different chassis. I mean, there's nothing really they've done there. That's what's disappointed me on it.
It's all about image. I thought it'd be a lot. Image.
Yeah, totally. It's like that Ruckus thing that they released. Like that's an image booster which hasn't really fired here. Even though is it Scion? Is that how you pronounce their sub brand in Japan? I don't know where else they sell. But the Scion brand, again, when I was living in Japan, it was like they were everywhere and they're really cool little models.
Cube cars are cool.
Love a Cube. I'd love a Nissan Cube.
Yes.
I think they kind of made a mistake there, Toyota, because I think they could have actually released that here. I don't know. I just think that strategy was quite interesting to go look at this funky Toyota. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Trying to catch that younger market.
Exactly. But I've gotten off the topic. The other one, of course, is the brand new VW Golf.
Golf convertible. Good thing.
That is a nice looking little thing.
Beautiful.
I really like it. I was quite shocked. I saw the ads and I thought, I might like it more than the EOS.
Yeah, and it drives really well too, as you'd probably expect from a Golf. But
you'd think so. Yeah.
Look, good little thing.
And Scirocco's coming as well, so...
Oh, yes. That'll be a bit exciting.
It will be.
But I think, look, if I had to put my 2 cents in and say what I think would be the best summary car, I'm going to go with an MX-5. Anyone else, guys? What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I love the MX-5. I kind of have for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, look, it's been around for a while now. I think we need a new shape. It's right on the money for budget, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
Who can argue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I've said for a long time, it's the best two-door convertible.
Yep.
Ever.
Yeah.
I've sold more of it than any other convertible car in history.
That's crazy.
It's an amazing, amazing feat.
Yeah. Good on them. Well, we're giving that the thumbs up. Let's just be honest about that.
Yeah.
So good for them. So a couple of people have texted in, of course. Mike from Thornbury. Ford Shelby GT500, so long as the interior no longer looks like the inside of a child toy.
And some of us bears have Lancers.
I know. Mike from Thornbury, good on you. I also have a Lancer, and I have a beard. I'm not sure if I'm a bear, but I'm happy to be, an honorary bear. I'm not sure what I'm saying anymore.
No worries, Paddington.
And going back to talking about the Australian touring car, Tess has texted in and there's rumblings that the 300C Chrysler might go racing.
Look, and that wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
They've got a high-performance package called the SRT8, which is a big brakes, big horsepower version of the 300C. And that's a good bit of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, lots absolutely. Mark and Chris asks, why not a BMW 3 hardtop convertible? Hardtop convertible?
Folding hardtop, yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
Good car if you've got the coin.
That's right. I was going to say, that's not going to be uber cheap. But look, yes, it's in there. We'll give you that, Mark and Chris, but unfortunately the MX-5 wins out.
Yes.
We've decided.
It's
thank
unanimous.
You. Exactly. On that note, we'll be back very shortly. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we finally commenced our Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Year Awards. Nobody has really challenged that name, so I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
It might be lame, but, you know, that's how we
it's
roll.
It's up there.
We workshopped that for
gnarly, it is. We did that.
We did.
Almost minutes, in fact. But, look, we did start it off a couple of weeks ago. Now, the rules are, as a refresher, for our end-of-year Raddest Car Awards, that needs to have been released in 2011. And we're going to tell you the winners on the final show, or one of the final shows of the year. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the most improved car, and there were lots of fantastic ones. We had the Kia Rio, Ford Ranger. Mike put in the SsangYong Corando. Mike Costello.
Yeah, I don't think he was well that week.
Yes, exactly. And the Plain Jane Award, which I think was, overwhelmingly the Volkswagen Jetta and Passat. Yes, that kind of thing. And Camry, you threw in there, but that's a given. And we had the ugliest car, which is controversial.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the first one on that list, and look, I have to agree.
Really?
The new 1 Series, what were they thinking?
See, I was the only one that stood up for it. I'm a fan.
No, and they've done the same thing to the 3 now, and it just looks like it's squinting. Give the car some sunglasses.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The 3 does look a little squinty, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I don't know, but I think the 1 looks more like... Didn't somebody say it looked like Angry Birds?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That's what you want your car to be described as, isn't it?
But you'd think it'd be quite a good little car. The current 1's pretty...
Oh, look, it's a great car to drive. If you can just sit inside it and get out and walk away from it without looking back, it's a great little car to drive.
Yeah.
But if you have to sit there and look at it in the driveway, I'm not convinced.
You're anti. We had a few others there, the Mini Coupe, the Mazda BT200, which was on my list, and the Lexus C, which I've got to say, the name of this car is just stupid. CT200H.
Mm.
Dear Lexus.
Yes.
Make it a bit more simple, guys.
Look, and that's another one. It's a bit of a shame. As sort of quirky and old school as it looks, it's actually not a bad drive.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and it's a good little chassis, and if it had a bit more horsepower, it'd actually be a bit of fun.
Mm.
But... Yeah, look, they're getting there.
Well, they haven't done
things.
It, and now they're in the ugliest car.
Exactly.
So,
hey,
wake up, Lexus.
There's a lot of very functional things that are very unattractive, and that's one of them. And, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Guys. It is, particularly if you're blind.
Exactly. Well, what we think is, you know, super ugly. Some people might go, that's actually really good looking, like with the 1 Series,
that's
for example.
That's right, yeah.
You know. Now, of course, so this week we wanted to have a quick chat about the next couple of awards. One of them slightly controversial. The other one, Best Concept Car. There's been a lot this year.
Yep.
Now, I don't know the name of this, which is terrible of me. The Mazda concept that ended up being what looks like the CX-5.
Yes.
I can't remember it, and I might look it up as we're
Let's just
discussing.
Go with CX-5.
Yes.
Great looking thing.
Yep.
I've just had a quick look at the production model while I was escaping from Toyota for half a moment at the show. And look, it's a great looking thing.
Yes.
I think they've compromised rear passenger space to a degree to get more front room and more cargo space in there. Mm. The boot is huge.
All right.
The back seat, probably good for shorter adults like myself or bigger children.
Mm.
But look, it's just such a good-looking car. It's so resolved from every angle. You know, Mazda quality through and through. Everything's there that you could possibly want inside.
That's great.
And, look, it'll just be interesting to see where it comes in in price.
But you can fit golf clubs in the back, so we're
yes,
sweet.
Yes, yes.
That's the main thing.
Yes, the standard unit of Japanese measurement.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was the Minagi concept.
Ah, thank you.
Was the one. No, yes. That's fine. Thank Google. God bless that machine. Anything else at Tokyo that stood out, do you think, as far as concepts?
Look, except for the Fun V, which was... I think interesting just from the form that it didn't follow the shape of a regular car.
Mm.
It was more like a shoebox that had kind of been stood on at one end.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So, look, something that's sort of stretching away from that traditional three-box shape or a traditional hatch shape. Yep. Yeah, more of that, please.
Yeah, mix it up, guys.
Mix it up. Yeah,
mix
come
it up,
on.
Guys.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got any ideas, if you're really into concepts and motor shows and stuff like that, let us know. Go to our Facebook page, which is Fender Bender Joy, all as one word, and let us know what you think was your favorite. Well, let us know what your favorite concept of the year is. We're going to end the show on a slightly outrageous note. Crappest car of the year. Now, there's no real rules for this one, guys.
No.
You know, it's just what we just hated, basically. Crappest car of the year. Any thoughts?
Look, I should be really, really careful.
Yes, I was going to say. I think. Benny Brogan is exempt from this segment, guys. That's fine.
I think I might have dug some holes already on this show.
May not have a job next week.
They're only opinions. Everyone's got opinions.
That's true. Yes, yes. Thank God you didn't finish that. Brian, any thoughts on a car that you were really unimpressed with?
Where do you start?
It's pretty hard these days because there's not really a bad car.
Everything's
degrees of average.
That's right. Everything's really marketed to a specific market segment, so it's really hard to say overall what would be the crappiest car.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, I'm not a big fan of hybrids or plug-in electrics. Mm-hmm. So all of those types of models that came out this year, in my opinion, crap.
Crap. Yep.
You know.
Just trying to think if Toyota came out with anything exciting, anything non-exciting this year, but I think the next Camry's next year, so that will possibly wait until then. or maybe not, maybe not. Maybe they'll do a good job. But look, realistically, I think for this kind of decision needs to be put in the hands of our dear listeners.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Let them copy.
Yes, what was truly a shite car this year. And look, you know, if you think there's lots, let us know all of them. Again, go to
Facebook. Particularly if you bought one, I think.
Well, yeah.
If you've bought one and you've been really disappointed with your purchase, I'm sorry for you, but let us know so we can all laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. But just go to facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy, or of course you can follow us on Twitter, which is also FenderBenderJoy, and let us know. Going back to the concepts, I think Mike from Thornbury has texted in the Juke GTR concept.
Ah, yes.
Which was the Nissan Juke, which was all sexed up. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well done, Mike. Look... think of what you want of the looks, but look, anything with that power plant underneath, that's got to be some fun.
That is cracking.
And if you've heard them hit the starter on that thing, it sounds really good. It sounds like it's about to tear apart small children. It's it's frightening.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Yep. It's good. Yep.
Oh, wowzers. Shame we won't get it here, though. Well, the Juke at all.
No, I doubt it.
Bit of a shame. Bit of a shame. We'll cope. Well, look, on that note, we will continue, of course, with our search for the raddest car of 2011 next week and beyond till the end of the year. But it is time to go. Sadness, guys.
It is.
Keep your tears to a minimum. We've got quite a few podcasts now available online at joy.org.au. So head to that website and see what you can find. Big thank you to Marcus on the phones. Big thanks to Maddie Brogan from carsales.com.au for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Much appreciated. Thank you to Brian, of course.
Oh, my pleasure.
And a big get well to Mike Costello. Look after yourself, mate.
Get off the terps.
Again, don't forget to like Fender Bender Joy at the Facebook page. I'm Tim Nicholson. This has been Fender Bender. Safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.